Dr. Seth Moore is the Director of Biology and Environment with the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. Dr. Moore joins us regularly to talk about fisheries and wildlife research, in addition to environmental issues.
Well, today I think I'm going to talk about wolves. They're a very popular species in this region. They elicit a lot of conversation, and they're really highly controversial species across the United States. I guess the first thing I want to point out about wolves is that, you know, in general, biologists have much less emotion attached to an individual species than the public does. And, you know, there are people in this region that are very sort of pro-wolf protection, and there are people in this region that are very anti-wolf. And from a biological standpoint, we actually look at all species in the same way, as this is something that belongs on the ecosystem and belongs on the landscape, but we can manage their populations to whatever the desired state is of society.
What type of wolf studies are you currently working on?
We've been working on wolf populations in Grand Portage since about 2008. And, you know, there are concerns in this region about predation on different species by wolves, and that was something that we wanted to investigate. Initially, we began collaring wolves in 2008 with an intent to understand how many wolves exist on reservation lands and how many packs are using the reservation lands. And what we do is we collar the wolves in the spring and summer. We trap them and we put collars on them. We draw blood to look at some environmental contaminants and some disease. And we take some measurements and then we let them go once they awake from the immobilization drug. And we're able to use the GPS data from the collars to identify the home range size of the wolves. And in the winter, what we do is we'll fly over the wolves with an airplane, knowing where they are by the radio signal that they put off. And then we can count how many animals are associated with that particular pack. And then with the GPS data, we can get the home range size. The utility of this is that we can get a really good understanding of what wolf density is on reservation lands, and then we can make educated decisions about what we want to do in terms of managing those populations, if we want to do anything. One interesting thing that I'm really excited about is I've been working with Dr. Ron Moen from University of Minnesota Duluth and one of his graduate students, and we've been working on a study identifying wolf diet, and that project's nearing completion. The graduate student collected wolf scats across the reservation, about 1,100 scats over a 3-year period, and what we did was broke those scat collections into the time of the season when they were collected, and we were able to proportionate the wolf diet by season on the reservation lands. And what's really interesting to me is that primarily wolf diet in our region was comprised of moose and deer. And then in certain months, we had more predation of beaver. And then in the spring months, we had some reasonably high predation of moose calves and deer fawns. You know, none of this is a huge surprise, but what I want to do with this is use those wolf diets across the seasons and the wolf densities on the reservation and do some calculations to estimate what our total predation rate of adult moose, adult deer, deer fawns, and moose calves, and that way we can get a good understanding that if we change our population levels, what might be the implications of those changes to our populations of prey species, including the moose and the deer. And we're very close to being finished with both some of the collaring studies to understand how many packs are on the reservation and the diet study, so we'll be able to do some of these calculations very soon, present them to our local public and present those results to our leadership. And then we can maybe get some guidance on where we want to go with this if we want to do something different from a management perspective.
Why is it important to maintain a healthy wolf population?
Well, wolves serve a role on the landscape of, you know, sort of cleaning up. They usually prey on animals that are susceptible to predation. So they'll take diseased animals, they'll take old animals. But the benefit of that is it prevents animal populations from getting so high that there's a higher incidence of disease to the point that you end up with a population crash as a consequence of these diseases. So that's the natural function of wolves. When predator populations get higher than what society deems is acceptable, you run into issues like depredation, where wolves are preying on animals that humans don't want them to prey on, like their dogs and cats or domestic animals. Another issue is that wolves may suppress some of those populations of prey species lower than what humans would like to see on the landscape. And that's where wildlife management comes into play, is we have some tools that we can use to help to manage populations so that they meet whatever societal goals that we have.
What are your thoughts on the current wolf populations?
Right now on the Grand Portage Reservation, it looks like the reservation is occupied by about 4 packs of wolves. The pack sizes range from about 4 to 7 animals per pack. I think we have one pack where we have some trail camera photos showing 8 animals in that particular pack. I think in general in this region, wolf densities are relatively high. You know, whether or not they're too high or not is more of a decision of society. When wolf populations get too high from a biological perspective, they get a higher incidence of disease or starvation because they can't find sufficient food, and they'll level out or drop. So a lot of how these populations play out more is dependent on what we want as a local community rather than what is sustainable from an ecological perspective, because things tend to balance out over time.
Thanks for talking to us today about your current wolf research. And we often end with a bit of nature trivia. Do you have something to share with us today?
Yeah, I do. I learned recently that a bat can eat about 1,200 mosquitoes in an hour. And I thought this was interesting when I did the math, but more interesting to me was the volume of what those 1,200 mosquitoes that were consumed in an hour would look like. And that would be a pretty decent ball of mosquitoes packed all together.
We've been speaking with Dr. Seth Moore, Director of Biology and Environment with the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa.